Joseph, congratulations on a superb set of results. You must be very, very proud.
Thank you, Simon. And it's first of all, great to be on Chai FM, my favorite radio station.
We know that.
Yeah, no, our results were absolutely superb. I suppose for me, the most important thing is looking at how our results have improved from 2014 to 2019, where we started off with a 2.4 distinction rate per student to a 3.8 in 2019.
Wow,
so that really shows us where we're going.
How do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that in 4 years you have, I mean, what is that? That's almost not quite doubled. It's a third better.
58% increase.
How do you explain that?
Look, it's a really interesting one that when I took over at Redhill together with our team, we sat down and we kind of looked at what we were doing. And we realized that although we were a really good school, we were a very traditional school and we were doing things in a very traditional way. And as is part of my makeup, I don't like to do things in a traditional way. We thought there got to be better ways of doing things for the benefit of the child. It wasn't necessary just so that we could have an increase in results. But how do we get our students to do the best that they possibly can and for life after school? Because it's not all about school.
Sure.
It's about what happens to the children when they leave school, and you've got to be able to see into the future. And so we did a lot of research in terms of where jobs were going, how things were going to be working, how we'd have to prepare them, how we'd have to look at innovation, creative thinking, those type of things, and how we would bring all of that into the curriculum so that it became part and parcel of a student's life and not something different to the way they usually do things. That would prepare them for when they get out into this global world to be able to deal with a world that is changing every single day. And if you don't learn how to do that at school, you're going to come pretty short when you leave school and you now got to deal with these things.
It's very interesting, Joe, because, you know, when you listen to this innovation, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, envision it, philosophize about it. It's another thing to implement it. And in order to do that, I mean, I would imagine the buy-in of the teachers is absolutely crucial in this kind of success. Do you expend an enormous amount of energy on teacher education and teacher motivation and whatever it is?
Look, this has got nothing to do with students. Students are inherently, they're born to be inquirers. They are born to be innovators. From a child, that is how you get on with your life. You've got to experience things. You've got to learn to fail. You've got to redo things. This is not something a child has to be taught. The most difficult thing is, how do we get from a baby going to pre-prep school, having fun, learning, inquiring, just doing what comes naturally to them, and carrying that through for the next 10 years of their life without cutting that short? And that's what we've done well. But you're right. How do you get teachers to buy in? Because teachers were brought up in a world where, you know, we do what we were taught to do. And we, as teachers, we had 15 years experience of how to be a teacher because we were in a classroom for 15 years watching the teacher do what they did. And so all we try and do is do the same type of thing. So we had to work with our teachers, and it started with a full program within the school of teacher development. But we don't do teacher development that you sort of go off and you do a one-day workshop. Our teacher development is part and parcel of our teachers' timetables. They have a minimum of 2 periods a week where they go to teacher learning, where we call it thinking about teaching.
Yeah, makes sense.
And they basically were put through their steps, and we have 2 or 3 people that work exclusively on our campus working with teachers. So they don't teach as much. They teach teachers how to work with students in a new way, both in technology and in innovation and creative and critical thinking.
So we're talking to Joseph Gerassi, the executive head of Redhill School, and if there's anything that you want to ask him, you know how to do that. You can SMS us on 34519 or send us a telegram on 061-895-1019. Joseph, yesterday, one of our very loyal listeners sent through a question, and I said I would raise it with you today. He wrote, Simon, why do kids go to school? Some teachers at some schools just don't care a feather what they teach. Kids should rather do their education online from an institution which will prepare them for a brighter future. Your take on that, please.
90% of students will not stay online long enough to learn anything. Okay. If we go back to understanding education, education is something that we do together. All right. It is something that you learn from people. You learn by interacting. It's about socializing with other people. So if you think of the things that you've learned the most, you've learned from somebody else. You've learned from talking to people. You've learned from working together on projects. It's what we have to teach people. Now, a school environment gives you all of that. Really what children are doing is they're coming to a place where you have excellent teachers. And at Red Hill, we'd like to think that all of our teachers give more than a feather, more than a feather about what they do.
Yeah.
They are passionate about what they do. And that's a very big reason for the results that we get. But it's all about connection, making those connections. Yeah. And that's really, really important. So I don't think we're ever going to be in a situation where we're not going to have schools. Our top schools will remain top schools and children will keep coming to the schools as long as we do that.
You know, I think that there's quite a really old adage by Confucius. He said that, tell me and I will forget, show me and I may remember, and involve me, I will understand. So I think that applies a lot.
Absolutely. It's all about how you engage with people. And unfortunately, to a large extent, a computer doesn't really engage with you. You can watch it. You can watch it for so long, and especially if it's not something that interests you. So you're really putting a lot onto a young child to expect them to get a full education. A computer can aid in your education, and especially if your teachers know how to use computers and computer programs that can support your learning. But you take 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kids, they want to come and they want to play with their friends. They want to be part of something that's real for them.
No, absolutely. Yeah, even in like language apps and whatnot, the lessons never stretch for more than 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's impossible. Yeah,
that's really interesting. Exactly. Talking, that's kind of related to that, Joseph. I mean, there are those who would call you highly innovative and brave, and there are those who would call you a maverick. Nobody seems to not have an opinion about your methods. You did something really brave. You stopped homework and stopped testing mathematics in particular. I don't know, maybe it's more than that, in the junior school. And then there was a maths Olympiad with certain results. Talk to us about that event.
Look, I think when you take on a system, and in our particular system, a traditional system, you have to be a maverick. So innovation and being a maverick, I think, go hand in hand. Right. Nobody who takes on a system will not be seen as a maverick, because it's, what are you trying to do? Why are you trying to change what's happening there? And to change a traditional style education where parents, students, teachers, that's all they know. Yes, you are seen as a maverick. But we were very lucky because I spent quite a bit of time working with parents. It really is important in getting your parents to understand where you're going, because once you have their buy-in, and it really did help that our results kept on getting better and better and better, because as they got better and better and better, parents and students and teachers start to say, okay, well, he must know what he's doing. So what we did is we really did our research. We do nothing just because we think it's a good idea. We do a lot of research. We look what's happening overseas. And we decided that in order, and besides the innovation part, it's the social and emotional well-being that we think allow children to actually be at their most creative. Now, in order for a child to be at their most creative, they can't be in a fearful situation. And as soon as you give kids tests and exams where they have to perform and they have to take that report home to mom and dad who have certain expectations, and you'll know from when you were a kid, the most frightening time was when you had to take that report home to mom and dad, because what were they going to say about those results?
Fair enough, yeah.
So if you take away in an institution, in an environment, those kind of fear factors, where a child now can make mistakes, can enjoy learning, doesn't have to worry about a final exam, what you start to find is that they start to color outside of the lines, outside of the traditional lines. And this allows them to become innovative. This allows them to become creative. And if you have teachers who understand that, then you will see them, that they will learn naturally. Because again, I need to stress that children learn naturally. They don't need teachers to teach them to learn naturally. It's part of the innate nature. It is teachers and parents and society that put up structures that prevent them from learning outside of the box. And you'll hear me often talking about coloring outside of the lines, because it is the people that have been most successful in life who have chosen to color outside of the traditional lines. But you've got to be in a safe space to do that. So we did away with homework. We did away with exams. We did away with prize giving.
Did away with homework and exams.
Yeah, no, no.
And that. Parents were supportive of that.
Well, they weren't at the beginning, and now we've got waiting lines to get in, because they've realized that they don't want the stress on their kids either.
Really.
And the fact that our children are doing well. So if I get to the maths, we used to do pretty well at maths, but in the latest benchmarking tests, that took place. Our grade fours, without tests, without homework, without exams, our grade fours came first, second, and third nationally, and that was out of 200,000 students. Our grade five student came first, and our grade six student came first. And if you would see my video, which is on our Facebook, you'll see that these kids kind of, when I said to them, well, what do you think happened? They said, did we win the competition? Not having the exams and the tests has still built an incredible confidence in these students. Because they're not scared to fail. They're not scared to try something different. And through doing that, they are gaining huge amount of confidence, and they know they have their teachers to back them there. So we believe very much in fail forward. We actually promote our, we want our kids to fail at things so that they can learn how to get them and change it and redo it to get to the correct answers.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Innovative or maverick, you decide. So Neil, the guy who asked that question, has come back to us. Simon, thank you. So teach by example. Monkey see, monkey do. I'm not sure that that's actually correct, Neil. I don't think it's anything to do with aping or following, or I think it's creating the space, you're saying.
Please, can I give you a great example that I think will help, Neil?
Yes.
So in our grade nines, we embarked upon a joint project with Morningside Shopping Center. Morningside Shopping Center were wanting to put a urban community garden on their rooftop.
Okay.
So we engaged with them and we said, all right, take our five grade nine classes, make every one of them into a company, and they will come up with a concept for you. So each grade nine class had to form a company. They then had to have marketing managers. They had to have financial managers. They had to put all of these things together, CEOs. Yep. They then had to come up with the entire idea. They had to meet with Morningside Shopping Center every 2 months. They had to present to their board. Their board brought in people such as engineers, etc. And the really good thing about it is that this project is going on and it's going to happen. So our children have been totally involved. There was no monkey see, monkey do. They had to come up with the ideas, the creative ideas, the budgets. They had to go and find out what is urban farming, what is hydroponics, how do we put all this together, what do we do with grey water. They were dealing with real life issues, and hopefully within the next year you will actually see the Morningside Shopping Centre put this urban community garden on their rooftop, and the kids who are involved in this program, their names will be there, and they're actually carrying on with this project into next year. So it's really exciting. I could go on all day about the projects that we do.
No, that's great, but I do want to stop you there because I want to go to the SMS line. Neil's come back. I think he's kind of got what you're after and saying, as I hear what your learning methods are, develop spirit, soul, and body. And I think that's probably a more accurate take on what you're doing, what you're trying to do. Adam's weighed in, Joseph. So wonderful to listen to two of my favorite people on the radio at the same time. Wonderful insight from a brilliant principal. So there you go. Adam, thank you. We'll take the compliment. In the short time that remains, Joseph, you've also taken a brave move in introducing the IB as distinct from the IEB. Mm. That's the International Baccalaureate. Talk very quickly to what that is and why it's important.
Right. The International Baccalaureate just puts us in a situation where we can offer students a choice. And we've always done that. From all of the subject choices that we offer our students, we try and give our parents and our students choices of different curriculum. So really what the IB is, it's an international curriculum. If you decide that you are looking to do this curriculum, you then don't do the South African curriculum. You do the international curriculum. And it gives you access to overseas universities. Not that the IB doesn't do that, but it does it in a different way. The IB also involves its philosophy is very much the philosophy of Redhill. You can get the best results in the country, but if you don't put in enough hours into community work, into arts and culture, into activities, sports activities, you actually will fail your entire diploma. So we really believe that it's a well-rounded curriculum that pushes our students to be the best they can be, not only academically, but in community work, which I think is really important, as well as in the arts and as well as in sports activities.
And heads up, absolute congratulations to you, because I've seen an odd video or two on your school website where you kind of give and a taste of what the school is and what it achieves. And I must tell you, we've been through a tough year in South Africa as South Africans, in every possible respect. And what you have managed to create, you and your teachers and your students and your parent body, is an absolute glimmer of hope for all of us that this Rainbow Nation isn't necessarily this fake construct. It exists. It exists in your school and I've seen it with your own, with my own eyes. So yeah, congratulations, Joseph, on your superb results, but more than that, on creating something really quite special. Thank you for coming in. Good luck for the future. And yeah, continue to do what you're doing because it seems to be working.
Simon, to you and the Chai FM team, you know, thanks for your support. It's great to be able to share ideas on education, you know, and it's great that people are listening to our ideas, and we really do appreciate you guys having us on.
While we were listening to a bit of music a little while ago, David, you threw a really interesting question at Joseph and asked him why. In fact, why don't you ask him what you asked him?
Well, Mr. Gerassi, why have you considered maybe Korean politics becoming an MEC of education in South Africa?
Look, I was involved in politics many years ago, and I think I probably got tired of the politicking, because I really was more interested in education and getting education right. And look, I would love to get involved. There are many times that I think to myself, you know, I've had a vast amount of experience and I'm in a private school. I'm lucky enough to be in a private school, but there's got to be something a little bit more than that. It's the same kind of thing we talk to our students about. You know, those of us in private education, teachers and students, have gained so much. We need to be able to give back, but we've also got to be in an environment that will allow us to give back in terms of education. And I think what has happened, unfortunately, in South Africa is there's this huge divide between government and private education. And it's almost as if, you know, government sees private education as the enemy, for some reason. And, you know, I believe that, it really is time in South Africa for an enormous Bosporat, where government brings together both, public and, private sector in terms of education, and sits down and says, guys, together, how can we get this right? Private education have so many resources available to them. Education have the power, the political power to make things happen. And between those two, I really do believe that we could get education to where it needs to be, not in the next 2 weeks, but definitely if there was a really good plan on the table. I always believe that, you know, when you're sitting in a situation where there is a problem, like in education today, you put a brains trust together. You know, I think education in this country is, we're fighting a battle. This is an emergency. This is an emergency crisis.
You used that language just a little while ago, state of emergency.
It's in a state of emergency. You know, if we had a foreign country attacking us, I promise you we'd be sitting together and we'd be having a major brains trust. But somehow we just don't see this education thing as being what is actually going to get South Africa to where it needs to be. No. Because if we don't get that right, we can do, you know, anything else is not going to help.
Well, you can actually sort of take a look and analyze at our own government and the people who are heading up the education department. I mean, it's not so much that they actually don't care. It's that I'm not sure they're either equipped with the facilities to actually go through with it. I mean, was it last year there was a crisis where a scandal where a student went to school to learn and he fell into a drop toilet that they had there and he drowned to death. I mean,
look,
it's not something you expect from a school, you know?
Yeah. So for me, I'm not in the business of criticizing people because I don't think we build bridges by criticizing other people. I think that gets us into trouble. I think what we need to do here is we need to reach out our hands and we need to be able to say that both sides, both in government and in the private sector, we have a lot to give. Without government and their political power and their political will to make things happen, it doesn't matter what we come up with, we're not going to get that done. So I would suggest that, you know, from my point of view, it's about saying to government, how can we do this together? I think sometimes, you know, we've learned from other political parties, you know, if one wants to just criticize the ANC all day, you're not going to get anywhere. It's about saying there are a whole lot of things that you've done really, really well, but there is a lot that we can do to help. And if we just put it together, wow, we can make something happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. We're going to continue this conversation, but we're going to get some music.